Let's sing that chorus to that song again. Y'all want to do that? What a day that's going to be. Come on. We're just going to sing while you're coming up.
Okay.
And you can help us sing.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord and know that one day it's going to be great? Amen. When Jesus says, in thy good and faithful servant, to the joys of this land, well, I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful time.
Amen.
And that's the reason right now that I want to try and help her sing this song here, because I believe that we need a double portion for this day and time that we're living in. Amen. All right. Long ago, in days of old, stood a man of God, we're told, as he talked to Elijah that day. His request he did repeat, standing at Elijah's feet. A double portion I can hear him say. Give me, Lord, a double portion. Pour the Spirit on me. Through eyes of faith, thy wondrous works I can see. But I need thy helping hand in this troubled, sinful land. Give me, Lord, a double portion from thee. As Elijah stood that day, to Elisha he did say, ask me what I shall do unto thee. And Elisha then replied, walking at Elijah's side, a double portion let it fall on me. Give me, Lord, a double portion, pour thy Spirit on me. Through eyes of faith, thy wondrous works I can see. But I need thy helping hand in this troubled, sinful land. Give me, Lord, a double portion from thee. Lord, I always to thee pray, just for strength from day to day. But I see there's so much to be done, that I have to kneel anew, and this favor ask of you. A double portion this fight must be won. Give me, Lord, a double portion, pour thy Spirit on me. Through eyes of faith, thy wondrous works I can see. But I need a helping hand in this troubled, sinful land. Give me, Lord, a double portion from thee. Amen. Surely today, in the time that we're living in, we need a double portion of God's Holy Spirit in our life and working in us. All right. I want you to turn with me now to John chapter 13. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture here. And after you find that, I want you to hold your finger in there or whatever you want to do. But I think it would help me, and I believe it would help you We sung our little chorus this morning again. Got a whole lot of things going on in our lives, aren't we? And God's there to help us with every one of them. He's the only one that we can depend on. He's the only one that can do for us what we need done. So let's just sing that song this morning, that little chorus, if you will. And while you're doing that, I want you to just stand for a minute. And then I'll read the scriptures that we're going to read. John 13, we're going to start with verse 1 and just read down through verse 3 or 4. And that's not going to be a whole lot for you to stand for, I don't think. Hope not anyway. But if you feel like sitting down, that's fine too. But let's just stand if you would. All right. Look at that. My mind is right. Brother Bill started off for us.
Smile, and give your face a lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a great big old smile.
Amen. All right, John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given it all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, as we read the word of God, Lord, I pray that you just bless us in a special way today. Lord, I ask that the blessings of God would be upon the service. The blessings of God will be upon the preaching of the word. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that the blessings will be upon us, each one personally. Thank you for everything you do. Lord, I pray that you'll save someone somewhere this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in every life here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you sit down, amen. I want you to take your hands and do them like this, okay? If you will, do your hands like this. Look at them. And just think. These hands are not very much, but thank God they're ours that God gave us. We could work with them, right? Now, I had you to do that, and I want you to think. My message this morning is on the hands of Jesus. So I want you to look at them. They're not Jesus' hands, but they're, in some ways, they are Jesus' hands if we use them for his honor and his glory. That's what we ought to do this morning. Use them for his honor and glory. You may be seated. And we thank you for doing what we ask you to do. And I don't know if you thought anything about it or not, but I'll be honest with you today. I think about the hands of Jesus a lot of times. And I know that if you looked at them in one way, you would think that they were kind of terrible looking. No doubt. There was doubting Thomas. You know, he said, if I can just see his hands, I will believe. And if I can just see the hands and the nail-pierced sides, I will believe. But I want to use that just a few minutes, so I'm not going to say any more about that for the time being. But in this chapter here, I want to use the text there where it says in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. The hands of Jesus, okay? H-A-N-D-S, the hands of Jesus. You may have heard this message before, I don't know. I know a long time ago, I think I heard somebody preach on this, but I haven't heard it since. And so God laid it on my heart this morning that I would preach to you on this. And I hope that it'll help each one of you today to do more for the Lord. I'm not saying that you're not doing a whole lot for the Lord, but I think that every one of us today could do a little bit more for the Lord's work and his purpose, don't you? I think we ought to just try to if we don't do it. Now, Jesus says here, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. All right, let's spell out hands here this morning and those very thoughts that I want to give you this morning. First of all, I want to give to you, and I took my handkerchief out and I threw it down somewhere, and I don't know what I did with it, but y'all just excuse me if I use my hands, okay? That's what they were made for, to use, right? Those hands right there were made to be used, so. All right, if you have a tissue, I'd love to have one, if anybody would give me one. I don't know why it's trying to do that, but I know that the devil's on the rampage this morning, and he's doing everything he can he's doing everything he can against the Christian today. Thank you. All right. I may need yours too, sister, for some of it. But if I do, I hope that you'll let me use one, okay? And I won't give it back to you. I thought it was fast can. All right? Okay. So let's spell it out this morning, okay? I have to give a little humor to you and make you smile and make you laugh. And now you're ready for God's word, aren't you? All right. Okay. Hands. H. Jesus has healing hands. Amen. You think about that. I know a whole lot of people that God has touched through Jesus Christ that have been healed. You say, well, do you believe in divine healing? You're looking at one right here today that believes that God can heal. I believe that as much as I believe that I'm standing here right now trying to preach the word of God. You see, God can heal. He heals and he uses Jesus to do it. It says here, and he touched her hand in Matthew chapter 8. And I'm going to give you a scripture for every one that I say this morning. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15. And you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But he said, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Wow, that was Jesus, wasn't it? That was God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word is Jesus. So, and it was Jesus, wasn't it? And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Here's the power of God here that was released, and the sick and the afflicted were healed when Jesus touched them in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. So we know that Jesus has healing hands, right? He has a healing attitude. He wants to heal us if we're sick. But sometimes it's not his will to heal. And people say that he can't heal because of that. I'm here to tell you, God can do anything, everything with God is possible. He can touch and heal if it's his will. Now, a lot of people think that he doesn't touch them, but maybe he is. I'm one that really believes that, you know, when people are deathly sick, so to speak, I believe that when God takes them on, if they're Christians, he heals them. because they're going to a better place. They don't have any heartaches. They don't have any more pain. Their body has been touched and healed. We that if the family may not think that way sometimes because of our grief, but I'm here to tell you, if they're Christians, they're better off. Now, the touch of the Master's hand releases God's power today. So we need power in our life. We need God's power in our life. And I'm here to tell you that His healing power is actuated through prayer and faith. If we believe, and we believe hard enough, I believe God can touch and heal. And I believe that He will. How many of you have been healed from some things? Raise your hand. Sure you have. And there's others that I'm sure could raise the hand if it would, because God is, He's a healing God, in other words. And He uses those hands sometimes. He just touches you and says, "You're healed." Amen? I'm not a fan of anybody's but Jesus. I'm going to tell you that. Or God. Or the Holy Spirit. Whichever one you want to say. But I believe that God uses some people that they might pray and God will use them. In the olden days they did. And things have changed, I know now. But God hasn't changed, has He? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Well, why would you ask somebody else to pray for you if you didn't want them to pray for you that you might be healed? Think about that. I'm not a healing preacher, and I don't believe in what you call healing preachers. I believe that God does the healing. He is the one that can heal. And praise the Lord for it. In other words, He have H, healing hands. Okay? Now let's go on to the second thing. I may not preach long. I don't know. But I know one thing. I've already told you enough that you could go home now and you could be blessed because you know that God can heal you if it's His will. Amen. And I believe that every one of us here today could stand a touch from the Lord. Amen. That way. I'm here to tell you, sometimes this old body don't feel too good. We're saved. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't give us that glorified body yet, did He? But when we leave this world, we're going to have a glorified body. Likened unto the Son of God. Thank you. Amen. And you can say amen if you want to. If you believe what I'm saying, you can say it. I believe God would be satisfied with you saying it. I believe you could bless God with it while He blesses you. Amen. You know, these healing hands that God has, I praise the Lord for it. Where would we be today if we were sick and God didn't heal us? This old COVID going around. Praise the Lord. I'm not praising the Lord that I had it, but I'm praising the Lord that God touched me and I got over it. I still believe that I've got a few little things that, you know, it could be coming from it. I don't know. But I know one thing. I know God's able. Amen. And He will. Amen. All right. I like this one too. H, healing hand. A, anointed hands. Amen. And He looked in Mark chapter 10, verse 16. I told you there's a good scripture for all of this. Okay, Mark 10, 16. And He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them. Who is he talking about? Those little children. He took them up in his arms and he hugged them and touched them. Amen? You see, children are symbolic of humility. I know some of our kids are so mean. I don't know about them being humble or not. But I know one thing. God's word says they are a symbol of humility. And when they were brought to Jesus, he touched them and he blessed them. Amen? So in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. And Jesus honors the humble. People laugh at me for saying humble, but I leave H off all the time. Humble is what it is, but I say humble. I may not be right, but I still say humble. I wish I was more humble. Amen? And I wish all of you were. Amen? All of you could stand a little bit more humbleness. Okay? But see, Jesus took the little children with his anointed hands. He hugged them and he showed them that they were humble and he blessed them. Those who totally commit themselves to him, he anoints with power and blessings. So we as Christians ought to be humble. God says, humble yourself before God, does he not? So, okay, what you going to do with that scripture then? He honors the humble. Those total commitment, he honors. We all, every one of us today say, Lord, I want to totally commit my life to you. We ought to be humble enough to say that. No, I tell you what it is. Because I've seen it in my life at times. If you humble yourself before people, before God, and let people see your humbleness, they'll use you for a format if you don't watch out. Walk all over you. But that still don't mean that we can't be totally committed to God. Humble ourselves before God and let him humble us and then be committed to him. What have we got in this world to be committed to? Absolutely nothing but he's here. In his presence, he's here. So let's commit to him our whole life. Not just part of it. See, I hear people say, well, you know, I'll give him part of my life. But I ain't going to give him that part. I'm here to tell you, they in trouble. Amen? Okay, so there's that anointing hands that can anoint our life that we can be humble and commit ourselves to the Lord. Am I right so far? There's those wonderful hands of God. Jesus Christ. I'll show you something in just a minute. In fact, it's the next thought, okay? There's the healing hands. There's those anointed hands. And here is the end. Those nail-pierced hands. That's the reason I got you to look. There's no nail prints in your hands, is it? Absolutely not. But I wanted you to think about the hands of Jesus. Those nail-pierced hands. When I look at my hands, there's a whole lot of wrinkles. There's a whole lot of veins going through there. But there's no nail-scarred hands. Right? But when you look at Jesus' hand, it says here, Thomas answered the Lord. See, they were in an upper room when Jesus was with them. But Thomas was not there. I don't know why he wasn't. If I did, I'd tell you. But I don't know. If you know, you can maybe tell me. But that's not important why he wasn't there, maybe. It may be to him, maybe to some others, but it's not to me. Jesus says in his word that he wasn't there. He was not present with the other 11. Here we go. He says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. And Thomas answered. He was with him the next time that the Lord met with him. But he'd already made a statement. He says, I'm going to have to believe when I see his nail-scarred hands and the nails pierced side. He'd already made a statement. I believe then. But the Word of God does not say that he had to do that. Here's what he said. My Lord, my God. When he saw Jesus' hand and his sides and maybe his feet. That was faith, wasn't it? For us that we believe. It wasn't Thomas because he saw. It was Thomas that says, my Lord and my God. In other words, here he was. He's, you know, I'm going to have to. He probably had his chest out. I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Well, we're living in a time we don't need to see because we're living by faith. But there's a whole lot of people today that don't have enough faith to believe. If faith ain't no farther than the nose a lot of times. When they pray, their prayers don't go up any farther. What did I say a while ago? By prayer and faith, right? Okay. When we pray, we ought to have faith enough to believe. Amen? All right. So now, here's those nail-pierced hands. My Lord, my God, Thomas says. When Jesus was crucified, his hands were nailed to the cross. His feet were nailed to the cross. And they pierced his sides. You see, he suffered and died a cruel death for our sins. Not only that, but they planted a crown of thorns. And they jobbed it down on his head. They didn't just place it there real soft and tenderly. No. They down on his head. I believe that. Because the Bible says his blood trickled down his face. He loved us enough for that. Now remember that. He loved us that much. And even though that he loved us that much, he loves us even more than that. You say, well, how did he love us more than that? Well, you see it every day if you just look. He shows us every day how much he loves us. I'm not saying that he loves the way we live sometimes and the way we talk sometimes and our attitude sometimes. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he loves our soul. He loves our heart. He loves our every being. But not our thoughts sometimes. He knows the very intent of our heart. And he still loves us. Well, we have a God that loves us. And I remember that. But he's going to be our judge one day too. So be careful. There's those nail-pierced hands that I want to tell you about. He suffered and died a cruel death for us. But let me say this. The nail-pierced hands of Jesus represents his love and his sacrifice. Remember that. Excuse me. That makes it possible for all to receive forgiveness and cleansing through power or faith and prayer. Okay? So there's that nail-pierced hand that I want us to think about today. But not only that, here's number four. There's that dedicated hands. How much are our hands dedicated to the Lord? Think about it. How much are our hearts dedicated to the Lord? How much of our mind is dedicated to the Lord? How much of our words that come out of our mouth are dedicated to the Lord? You say, well, I can't live for the Lord all of my life. Yes, you can. God will help you if you want to do it. But there's those dedicated hands that Jesus Christ has. But it says here that in Mark chapter 9 and verse 27, if you want to read it sometime. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. See, there was those dedicated hands. The hands of Jesus are dedicated. As he listens to those in distress, he loves and he lifts in Mark chapter 6, verse 2. I hope you're writing them down. And then maybe you can read them when you get home or somewhere. Well, thank God for those dedicated hands of Jesus, don't you? Where would we be if it wasn't for the dedicated hands of Jesus? We should always ourselves have dedicated hands. We follow Christ's example by helping the less fortunate, by lifting their burdens, and sharing Christ with the unsaved. Let me give you an example of what happened yesterday. There was a man who walked up to, we were parked and kind of, you know, talking just a little bit with my wife and waiting for somebody to come. And we were sitting there and this guy walks up to the window. And so I let my window down. Oh, and I already let it down. I don't know which. But I had a shirt on. I don't dress like a preacher all the time. But usually I have some things on my shirt, especially at home. And then sometimes I go up with them on. I don't mind that much either. Because if you don't like me with those shirts on, you don't like me at all, so it don't matter anyway, right? But I had this shirt on, and it says 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If the rapture takes place, you can have this shirt. Okay? This fellow walks up, by the way, my license plate on the front, it says, give your heart to Jesus. And he looked at it when he walked up. Stopped, read it, walked up, I let the window down. I had in my mind what he wanted. But I thought to myself, he said, I like it to tell you that. I said, thank you. I said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Yeah, sir. And he may have. I can't say that he didn't. But there was something that kind of bothered me with him. And I'm just giving you this example, okay, of what I was talking about. And he asked me, he says, do you have any money? I said, very little. I said, no. He said, okay, thank you. And there's something else I was going to tell you about it, and I can't remember exactly what it was. But I took that opportunity to witness to him and to ask him, was he saved? And I believe God expects us to do that, don't you? He promised you. I didn't know that fellow was a Christian. But I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him no story. I just knew that, you know, he wasn't in a right manner that I could probably trust him. Let's put it that way. Well, let's say this again. We should always have dedicated hands. Maybe I did wrong by not giving him any. Well, sometimes you might do right not to. But you just have to let the Lord lead you in that part of it. But always take an opportunity, if you can and will, to witness to someone along the way. Amen. Because there's a great big world out there. And the Bible says, straight is the way that leads to heaven, but few that be that goes in. If that means what I think it does, that very few going in according to the world situation. But he wants us to witness to him. And when we witness to him by leadership of the Holy Spirit, then we don't do wrong. We have to trust the Lord to do the saving, because we can't save anyway. We can pray for them. All right, let's go on. Here's another one. If he has saving hands. Amen. S is for saving. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll enter in." See, he's standing at people's heart's door today with those hands, those saving hands. Those hands that he has that he can save. He saves from the uttermost, or from the guttermost to the othermost. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. A lot of us use our hands to bless others and save lives. But we can't save a soul. There's another example. I see on the TV and hear on the TV a lot of times that people save somebody's life by pulling them out of a burning car or some other thing that's going on. And we ought to try to do that. But we can't save a man's soul, but we can be a witness for the Lord, and he can save that soul. Christ alone can save souls. He patiently and lovingly knocks at the door of every heart. Open the door and let him come in. That's what he's trying to say. And I believe everybody is saved by their testimony. I believe that. I got no reason to doubt any of y'all's salvation. But I want to say this. I don't know your salvation. I don't know your heart. But I believe you are by your testimony. You don't know my salvation. You don't know whether I'm saved or not. But I can point you to one that can save, because he's already saved me. Amen. Long, long time ago. And I thank God for it myself. For there it is, right there. There's those healing hands. There's the... I forgot them all now. Anointing. All right. The healing hand. Anointed. Anointed. Wait a minute, it's an E there. What is it?
H-A-N.
No, it ain't either.
No, A-N-N.
Now, I was using, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I'm right, you're right, and I'm wrong, but I know what it is now. Healing hands, anointed hands, nail scarred hands, and dedicated hands, and saving hands. Amen. And I think with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. So I think that's probably enough to take us, everyone, to heaven. Because he died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And we accepted him as our Savior. We could go to heaven. And we, like we were singing a while ago, amen, we got a better place to go to. But let's just think about those hands. One time this week, think about those hands. And put them over in your mind. Would you do that? And do what God tells you to do. Let's live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's stand. Let God lead what he wants you to do this morning. Do you need to come? Our brother Bill is coming. Would you like to come today? Now just pray. Let the Lord work in your heart and life. It takes prayer and faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are you saved. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And the gift of God is Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross. God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift to this lost and dying world. And that was us, and that is us. Huh?
Do you want to have a song, girl?
Okay. Well, everybody wants to pray, so let's just pray, okay? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll take it and use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, for everyone that's lost without Christ. Lord, I don't believe it's going to be very long before you step out and call your children home. Lord, I want all to go with me that can and will. Lord, I pray today that your will be done in every part of life, especially Lord, those that are lost without you. Because you said in your word, it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, help them to come to repentance. Even today, Lord, I pray for those that are sick. Lord, there's so many people sick, Lord. Seems like every day I hear somebody else is sick. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch and heal those that it's your will to do so. Lord, I pray today, Lord, families. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for our family. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each and one of them. Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, that you bless it in a special way. They're faithful, Lord, and thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just touched Brother Don. Lord, you know the need there. Lord, for everyone that has lost a loved one this week, Lord, I pray that you'll fill their hearts with prayer. And Lord, I pray that you'll comfort them today. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. And give us a safe trip home. Bring us back at the appointed time. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything that you do. Amen and amen.